topic of our study tonight is titled Fight the Good Fight. And the text scripture will be taken from 1 Timothy chapter 6 and in verse 12, where Paul tells young Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Remember, if you will, when we were studying together this morning from the same section, just a chapter earlier, we talked about the fact that the Apostle Paul told Timothy, this is a faithful saying. And he went on and explained to Timothy exactly what a faithful saying was and asked of young Timothy to live a good example. And he talked about the type of example that he wanted Timothy to live. He wanted him to live an example by keeping the faithful word. Wanted to be an example in conversation or manner of life. Wanted him to live an example of charity or love, and we said that that word was agape love, the highest form, the highest type of love. And we talked about how that God the Father and God the Son were demonstrations of that love, and how that John said in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8, that you're talking about the very nature of God when you're talking about this depth of love. In a few moments, we're going to talk about a different type of love from the Greek language, though it's still spelled love in our New Testaments. And then, of course, he talked about the example in faith. And we talked about how that Titus was preaching to a group of slaves. And he wanted these slaves to adorn themselves in God's faith. And we made the application that we today needed to adorn ourselves in God. And then last of all, he talked about purity. And then tonight, he gives a similar lesson to Timothy in the next chapter. And this particular section of Scripture begins in verse 11 and goes through verse 12, verses 11 and 12. But to really set the tone as to why Timothy needed to fight this good fight of faith, we really kind of get the gist of it up in verse 10. Look with me as we read verse 10. You've heard this term all your life. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now notice we talked about the love that Paul was talking to Timothy, that he was to be an example of. It was the highest form of love. It was Christ-like love. Well, notice the word love is used here in verse 10, but it's from a word in the Greek language called phileo love. And it's a little bit milder form. It's a lower form. It's a form of warm affection. Now, when you're thinking about agape love and Christ-like love, you want a husband and a wife that will love you this agape-type love. You want that higher form. You don't want your wife to just feel warm about you and when you're talking about love. But in this particular section, Timothy is being told by the Apostle Paul that the love of money. Now, he's talking about New Testament Christians that could have a love for money. Now, he's talking about dangers that are on the horizon. The love of money is the root of all evil. If you have a warm, fuzzy feeling about money, and you have a nature about you and a desire about you to want more and more and more money, more have this desire. They have a warm feeling already. You can see in their lives they have an attachment for the love of money. And they want more and more of money so that they can have more and more material things. And it's going to pierce them through. Well, what does it mean to pierce themselves through? What does it mean to say they have erred from the faith and that they are pierced through? Remember when we were studying the Corinthian epistles, 1st and 2nd Corinthians? Paul made a statement in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. He's talking about our physical bodies. It is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And he goes on to say that we were bought with a price. Now, we're talking about New Testament Christians that are living in Ephesus. Timothy is trying to teach these people, trying to mature these Christians. But yet they have a warm, fuzzy feeling about the material world round about them, and the love of money is going to pierce them through. They're forgetting that they were bought and paid for with the blood of the sinless Son of God Himself. Remember also, Peter would say later on toward the end of his life, in 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verses 18 and 19, he says, "Brethren, you were not bought with silver and gold, precious stone, but you were purchased with the very blood of the sinless Son of God Himself." You see what we're doing when we're setting the tone for what Timothy is about to be taught by the Apostle Paul? That's the reason where we're told in the book of Colossians, chapter 3 and verse 5, Paul told the Colossian brethren, folks, you need to mortify. You need to mortify your members. You need to deaden the body to all these fleshly, physical attractions that can take your eyes off of your goal, and that's spending eternity in the heavens above. Now notice, if you will, we get to the main point, verses 11 and 12. "But thou, O man of God," notice how he formed that, "but thou, O man of God." It tells you the trust and the confidence that Paul had in Timothy. We said that more than likely at this time, Timothy was about 35 years of old. And he was instructed in the preceding chapter, don't let those people look down on you. You are knowledgeable. I've laid my hands on you. You have miraculous gifts. And you're going to use those gifts. Don't dare let them look down upon you because you're just 35 years old as far as the Jews were concerned. As far as the Jews were concerned, he wasn't a grown man until he reached age 40. Some had to be 45. He says, "Thou art a man of God." In other words, he trusts him. He understands him, but yet he tells Timothy, he says, "Timothy, you flee these things." What things are we talking about? Those things that we just talked about, the love of money, which is the root of all evil. You flee that environment that would give you a warm, fuzzy feeling about material things that could cause you to lose your soul, that could cause you to lose interest in the body of Christ. In other words, he's saying not only do you flee that environment, you run from that environment. And you keep on running. You continue to run away from it. Well, how can that help us? Well, we can look around us today and we can see that we're living in a materialistic world. We're living in a materialistic society. And we've got young people and we've got middle-aged people and we've got older people that have a love for money to the point that they cannot see the need to grow and mature in the faith. They can't can't see the need to give of their means and their time and their talent and their energy in the work of New Testament Christianity because they're so taken up in the world around us. Paul says, you flee that environment because it will lead you astray. And then he goes on to say, and follow after. You want to run away from one environment and you follow another area. Now, this is it. What he's saying is by following something else, you hunt for that way of life. Like you hunt game. You hunt this way of life. You pursue that way of life. And you intensely struggle to stay in that manner of life. Now notice what he does. Just like he did in our section this morning in chapter 5. Look what he says. Here's what you run after. You run after righteousness. You run after righteousness. You pursue it. Remember, if you will, Paul made a statement in the first chapter of the book of Romans, down about verses 16 and 17, talking about the power of God, the Word of God, that it was a righteous pursuit. The gospel is righteousness. It produces a right relationship with God. Remember, we just talked about Peter's statement, look, we're not bought with silver and gold. We're bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So we want to be in a right standing with God. We want to be righteous in the eyes of God. Then notice, if you will, he says, next of all, you need to pursue godliness. Well, when you stop and think about the term godliness, you're talking about someone that has an awesome respect for God, a great reverence for God, a great devotion to God. Do you see how that will make a difference when you're talking about righteousness and you're talking about godliness? You see the difference in the two attitudes? Here's one group out here and they're shot through already, because they have this warm, fuzzy feeling about the material world about them and just needed more and more of it. You flee that way of life, but you hunt this other way of life. You follow after that way of life. You struggle to stay on that type of road. And then we talked about faith this morning, and we used Titus chapter 2 as an example. And that is the section where Titus is talking to slaves. But he goes on in Titus chapter 2 to remind these slaves, you adorn the faith that you embrace. And then he goes on to say, and he talks about the grace of God that brings salvation to all people and what it produces. It produces growth and spiritual maturity. Now notice, if you will, here he comes again. He uses faith. He uses love. This is agape love. Not the kind of love that he used up a few verses later. One was phileo love, that warm feeling about somebody. But not here. He's talking about you pursue agape love. You pursue the type of love that produces the highest quality, the highest form of love. You talk about love, you look at the 13th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. It talks about all the material gifts and all the spiritual gifts. And then he says they're coming to an end. But the greatest of all, he said, something that will never go away is love, agape love, that highest form of love. And then he talks about patience. You know, sometimes we really miss the point when we think about patience. And we think about patience and we think, well, we're just supposed to sit back in a corner and fold our arms and our hands, and we're not to say anything, we're not to do anything, we're just to be patient. No, what Paul is saying here is, you be patient. Even though trials and temptations, ups and downs of life, they're coming and they're going. And you're patient. You're not sitting there with hands folded. You're still fighting the good fight of faith. And you're still thankful for all the spiritual blessings that you enjoy. You're thankful for the relationship that you have with God the Father, God the Christ, God the Son, and God the Spirit. You still have the hope of eternity lying before you. So yes, you're going to be patient, but you're going to keep on going. You're going to keep on praying. You're going to keep on being faithful to your God, because you're pursuing righteousness. You're pursuing godliness. You're pursuing faith. You have adorned yourself with your faith. And you love the sacrifice that the sinless Son of God made for you more than anything else in the world. And you would not destroy that relationship for anything else in the world. So yes, sometimes you have to be patient when trials and temptations come your way. But you're going to end this life with meekness. A gentle spirit. You see what Paul says in Colossians chapter 3. Paul says, has this statement in Colossians chapter 3. He said, beginning in verse 12, put on therefore the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. For if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you be. So notice, if you will, Paul told Timothy, he says, Timothy, you are a man of God. And I want you to flee and preach against the type of lifestyle that would cause someone to be so attached to the love of money, which is the root of all evil, that if they would covet that more than their relationship with Christ, they're going to lose their soul. So Paul is telling Timothy that he needs to fight the good fight of faith. And he is to fight that faith with such an intensity, such a struggle, that if it takes his life, he would rather give up this earthly life and this earthly fight than to give up his spiritual relationship with God. Now, I believe that if we consider what Paul is telling Timothy here, we can kind of see how that it could apply to our lives today. And how that the message that Timothy is to teach those Christians could be just as helpful to the world around us as it was back then. Because, you know, I really believe that when we really consider the society that we're living in, we can certainly see how there are those in the church that are being pierced through because they lost sight of the most important thing and the most important goal in their lives. If you're in the audience this evening, need the prayers of the congregation in any way, why not take the opportunity, as Dale leads us in this song, to take advantage of it.